Okay, me too. Spend some time in prayer. If this is 14 January, 04. Those of you that are watching your tapes, we did not have class last week. What happened probably, I don't think will happen again. We've made some new decisions here, but just so you'll know, you did not have any class last week, which would have been the 7th. And so tonight we resume our study in stress, anxiety, and depression, why Christians experience it and why Christians do not need to experience it. Nearly every day when I pick up the paper, my morning routine, sit down and just go through the paper if I can, and there's just seems like there's always something dealing with our society in stress, anxiety, and depression. All kinds of things happen as a result of that. Physical things happen, the breakdown of the body, emotional, and marriages. so many things start to happen. And a lot of these people, I'm sure, are Christians. The paper certainly doesn't distinguish between Christian and non-Christian. But in the Christian world, there are so many Christians that experience this. And it is a shame, because we do not need to as Christians. If a person chooses to dwell in stress, anxiety, and depression, then that's their decision. But we do not need to. It's a decision, as we have seen before in our study. And the things that we're studying now are all the reasons why you do not need to. People go to psychiatrists, psychologists, all kinds of therapy groups to tell them that they're okay, build their self-esteem. The building of self-esteem is very important. It is so important that God has given to us everything necessary for you to know who and what you are. So that a person needs to have a healthy self-esteem, self-image, is important to the very nature of human beings. You can do this in the realm of Satan's world, where my self-worth, my self-image, is my performance plus others' opinion of me. Or you can deal with your self-image, yourself, who and what you are, your self-importance. It has to come from within. It cannot come from society. It cannot come from your boss, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. Each person has to develop for themselves their own self-esteem, their own self-worth from within. God is aware of that. And God has given us. Now, we have studied some 30 things in regard to who you are in Christ. People, you pay money. People pay money for what we're studying here. Big time money to go to psychiatrists, psychologists, try to understand a lot of things about themselves. And here God says, I give it to you freely. I give it to you in grace. But you have to live it, believe it in faith. You have to, I believe this about myself. You have to know it, believe it, and then you start living who you are in Christ. And the stress, anxiety, and depression are flags that we are living, that we are living in Satan's world, that we are living in the flesh, that we're living under Satan's lie, that we're living according to our basic instincts of performance. We're not living in who we are in Christ, the new spiritual creature that we are. We're not living it in abiding in His love. We're living it abiding in the world. This person doesn't like me. I'm not making what I should at work. This isn't happening. That isn't happening. This is happening. That, and everything's dependent on this outside world that crashes in on Christians. And what God is trying to say to you is, it's inside of you. Everything that I give you is inside. And here is who and what you are in Christ. So we're going to continue tonight, get back into that. Before we do, let's have a few moments about prayer. We have had several people we've been in prayer for, and I encourage you to continue to be in prayer for Wes Tuttle. I encourage you to be in prayer for Estelle. Got a report on Tish Rasheen's sister, Alta, whom we've been praying for, battling with cancer. She had another major relapse this afternoon. Please be in prayer for her, Lonnie, the entire family. Just be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for this assembly. We'll find a place that God would have us to assemble ourselves and fulfill our ministry, fulfill our purpose, telling others about the church. And so we just have a lot of needs for prayer. So please go into prayer. And now let's just prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let's pray. What a magnificent God you are, Heavenly Father. It boggles the thinking of our minds, the difficulty of perceiving that the sovereign, omnipotent God cares about me, cares about each of us individually. So much, Heavenly Father, that you have taken care of even our inner, or especially our inner needs of the soul, our understanding of who and what we are. You understand the effect of sin, the damage of sin, and death. And you've given us life. First of all, eternal life in Christ, temporal life in the power of your Spirit. I pray, Father, that tonight as we continue and on the momentum of closing the study, that you get these lessons to those who will hear them, listen to them, and believe them about themselves. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. What I want to do first, we've lost a little momentum on this with the holidays. I want to go back and just talk about, so we can move up to where we are, the 25th thing that we noted. I'm not going to go back to the first one. 25th thing we noted was you're the household of God. And very close to that, we noted 26, heavenly association. Heavenly association. Excuse me one moment. Oh, let's see if that's James calling for some reason. If it's the phone by the thing. 26, heavenly association. This is very important. Where do you live? Your association as an American, as somebody influential in your community, in your industry, in your business, what you have, what you own, what you possess, or is it in the realm, is your realm of reality to you your heavenly identification? How do you think of yourself? This is why a lot of people, Christians, experience stress, anxiety, and depression. It's because of our view of ourself in reference to something. So where do you identify yourself? We should identify ourselves in our heavenly identification. This is the realm of reality. 27, you are a light in the world. And that's very important because as you come out of stress, anxiety, and depression, you're going to be a light to your children. People, it's so difficult on children today when their parents are so frustrated and tore up and fighting or busy or all of this. You're a light to your children. A lot of times when preachers and people deal with this, oh, you're a light out there in the world and go send missionaries across the ocean and be a light. And people, you're a light in your home. You're a light with your children, your husband, your wife. You're a light that sheds light on truth, on sin, on all these things. You are a beacon. You're a beacon that is so comforting and so powerful. Then we noted 28. You are inseparably united with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I know that if you're experiencing sometimes very heavy case of stress, anxiety, depression, you feel totally alienated. I want you to just get in your mind, you are inseparably united. There is nothing that you or angels or man can do to separate you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Then we went from that to 29, in the Holy Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, sealing of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then we noted 30, right off of that, you are glorified. Now we come tonight to 31. We begin tonight with 31. When Christians are suffering SAD, there is a sense, this is so important, there is a sense of incompleteness. Life is not complete. Not only is your life not complete, but inside themselves is a sense that all is not complete. There is something missing. There is something wrong. It just doesn't make sense. So much that's going on just doesn't make sense. Even so, you can get to the point when you're in depression and stress that your marriage doesn't make sense. Your work doesn't make sense. Your life doesn't make sense. You reach that point. Nothing's meaningful. This is professionally stated. There's a sense of coherence. As long as whatever is going on in your life makes sense, people are stable. But when your life is incoherent, SAD sets in. When your life and everything is fitting in order and there's a sense of coherence, there is a very stable existence of a person. When it doesn't make sense, there's a sense of incoherence. You know that something's not right. And you know it. And SAD is one of the great flags of all of this. Let's go from a known to an unknown. Some people are not, but a lot of people are so toned to their whole body. They know when it's not coherent. There's something wrong with my body. What is it? I don't know, they might say. I just know something's wrong. And so they generally go to a doctor, I don't know what it is, and da-da-da. And it turns out they're right. But when it comes into our soul, so a lot of times Christians can't put their finger on it, or they don't want to. I know that there's a sense of incoherence. Some things don't make sense. It's not putting together right. And so often in Christian spiritual journey, I want you to understand this, God purposefully will bring you to a point where your life is not coherent, and you know it. Something's not right here. It's just incoherent. And I don't know what it is. A lot of Christians will say, I can't put my finger on it. I just know there's something incoherent here. Now, what happens at that point? Then you start to search. Then you start trying to find it. And that often leads to despair. You try a new job. A lot of people even try new spouses. You try a new environment. And you gotta keep trying. You're not sure what you're looking for. All you know is that there's something going on inside of you that just doesn't make sense. And so you go on the search. And the search usually ends up in despair. The journey that goes like this, the sense of incompleteness, is often characterized by divorce. It's often characterized by going out and just trying something else. Go somewhere else. Do something else. Sometimes an inordinate obsession with work. Nothing wrong with work, but all of a sudden now this incompleteness, I just get lost in my work and I won't have to deal with it. Like an alcoholic gets lost in alcohol, or thinks he does. So a person I'm going to just get lost in this. It can be a lot of things. I know people that just get lost in their bodybuilding. It's not a matter of health. It's not a matter of just wanting a good body so that you can function in life. There are people who just get lost in it. This is only they go into the gym, spend hours every day. How can you do that? Oh, you have to spend an hour or so on your legs and then come back, spend an hour or so on one part of your body, another part. You can do that. And they're doing it because there's just oftentimes, not always, it's just incompleteness. And so there's just, you try to find something in this. Sometimes This obsession is accompanied by success. But then what starts to happen in most cases is success still does not fill the incompleteness. It does for a while when you're doing it, but after a while it doesn't do it. It may be sex. It may be a frantic search for stuff. Whatever it may be. And for a while. But then after that a while, the incompleteness, the incoherence is even louder, heavier on your soul. Sometimes all this work doesn't end in success, and that intensifies the incompleteness. The just going into something just doesn't satisfy it. Sometimes the search to try to fill this incompleteness, this incoherence in life, leads to drugs, alcohol, bad marriages. But what I'm getting at here is a total sense of incompleteness, a hurt, turmoil, emptiness, something's missing in your life, in your soul, misery, failure, even fear. Even fear. It turns into fear if this happens to as you get older in life. Okay. Is there help with this? Other than drugs and alcohol? People, I'm going to show you something that's so beautiful about our God. Please open your scriptures, if you will, to Colossians 2:9. And if you're listening to this on the internet or on tape, take the time, get your Bible, open it up. Just spend some time, because we're talking about your soul. People listen to these things while they're driving and all that, while other people are paying $75 to some psychiatrist, psychologist, or counselor. They don't do all that when you're in his office and you're talking with him, interacting. Do the same thing with the Bible. Don't do a lot of other distracting things. Colossians 2:9. People, let me tell you what we're going to look at. In Jesus Christ, here it is, in Jesus Christ, you are complete. Now, that's the point. In Christ, you are complete. I'm going to show you that. Now, you can believe it, or you can just say, well, yeah, but not really. Then you're not going to experience the joy here. Okay, Colossians 2:9. For in Him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, in Christ, you, that's you, put your name there, have been made complete. You're complete, people. What's lacking? There's nothing lacking. You don't need to go on a frantic search. There's nothing lacking. If you will live who you are in Christ, there's nothing lacking. Then it says, and He is the head over all rule and authority. Okay, hurting believer, suffering a sense of incompleteness, incoherence in your life, where are you going to find your completeness? You're going to try to find it in the external world, the material world, physical world? Are you going to find your completeness in who you are in Christ? And it's decisions up to you. Each one of us have to make up our own mind. And it really is difficult not to try to find your completeness in the physical world. And to be satisfied and find your completeness of who you are in Christ. In verse 9, completeness or fullness of God. The completeness or fullness of God dwells in Christ. And since you are in Christ, you are complete. Don't let the circumstances, the conditions of your life, take away from you your completeness in Christ. I know it's difficult to feel the completeness in Christ when you don't have any money. That's difficult. I know it's difficult to sense your total completeness in Christ when you feel incomplete because you don't have a mate. You don't have a husband. You don't have a wife. That's difficult. It's difficult to feel that completeness when you don't have parents. It's just, I can't imagine some adults saying it because they don't have children, but I guess there are some adults that do. But what I want you to see here is, don't let that happen to your soul. Keep your mindset. What does the world offer you? What do you have to do? Please listen to me if you're hurting tonight. What do you have to do to secure the completeness that's in the world? You have to perform. And if you're a writer, just write that down. If I want my coherence, if I want my completeness in the world, I'm going to have to perform. And people, that's why so many people hurt, because they don't perform according to the standards that the world wants, and the world doesn't recognize it, and now you really are out of kilter. If you want the completeness that the world offers, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to perform. You're going to have to do more and more and more. People, you go to a church that builds all of the spiritual life on performance. We studied the four circles many times of different type of churches. There's a moral, righteous church, and you've always got to do more. You're always wondering if you're moral enough, if you're good enough, if you're doing the good enough things. Then there's a church built on knowledge of doctrine and learning. You've got to learn more, and you've got to learn more, and you've got to learn more. And there's just always that frantic incompleteness of not knowing and not knowing. Then there's the charismatic church, where it's an emotional experience. You've got to have more and more. Then there is the service church. You've got to serve more and more and more. I'm serving from morning till night, but I still feel like I need to serve more. People, please understand, if you're going to look for your completeness, if you're going to look for the coherence of your life in the world, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to perform for it. And I'm sorry, but this is true in marriages. If you want to find your completeness in your marriage, you're going to have to work for it and perform. You want it in the world, work world, you're going to have to perform. You want it in your family. You're going to, people, if you're looking for the completeness that seems to be missing in your soul, and you want it from the world, you're going to have to perform for it. Now, what does Jesus Christ offer? He offers a completeness, a fullness of God. Freely and graciously. It's already yours. You are already made complete. False teachers offer the fullness of life. Note in verse 4. False teachers deceive with persuasive arguments. Biblical words that appeal to the basic instincts. Then look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. Now, let me be mindful here. They're going to use biblical words. According to the elementary principles of the world. What are the elementary principles of the world? It's a basic instinct of man, perform, rather than according to Christ. It's a powerful verse. We hope that if you're suffering, you can come out of it by not being enslaved to the world and to those around you. You're going to have to let this reality be inside of you of who you are in Christ. One reason so many Christians experience and suffer SAD, the incompleteness of SAD, is that they have knowingly or unknowingly accepted a philosophy of the world. Look at your passage. According empty philosophy through philosophy and empty deception. And many people, Christians, without realizing it, from the pulpit, they are accepting philosophy of the world as to what being complete is. And then when that is not realized in their lives, a heavy sense of incompleteness. Don't do that. Note what philosophy the world is based on. The world's philosophy is based on elementary principles. And you know what that is? That's your basic instinct. What is the basic instinct of man? The basic instinct of man, we studied this in a study of Jude. The basic instinct of man is to perform, and I can show you this in the Bible, in Romans. If we perform, you're going to perform, and you want recognition for your performance. You want recognition for your performance. And if you don't get the recognition for your performance, all kinds of things start happening. Inside of you, if you don't get that recognition. Those of you that are parents, how do we rear our children? We reward them right from the beginning. Potty training, everything. We reward them. Oh, you're so wonderful. That's just so great. And we just, here's some money. Here's a star. Here's some extra ice cream. Here's some this. Here's whatever it is. We reward on this. because it's a basic instinct of man to perform and to be rewarded. A lot of people, preachers even, not only Hollywood, say the basic instinct of man is sexual immorality or sexual desires and lust. People, not according to the Bible. The basic instinct of man is to perform and do the law and be rewarded for it, or to experience and expect punishment if you don't. You study the whole thing of Cain. You learn this right from the very beginning if you want to know about stress, anxiety, depression, and anger, and all these types of things related to what I'm saying here. Take a moment. I don't have this in my notes, but look with me at Genesis chapter 4 a moment. Let me show you something that happened in Genesis 4. We won't study this except to note this just so you can see it in action of what we're trying to talk about here. Now, here's Cain. First few verses, Cain's barn and Abel's barn. Now, it came about in verse 3, and it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. Now, people, Cain is doing well. Cain's, he's just functioning through life, happy as it were. He's going on, and he wants to win the approval of God. He wants to praise God, worship God, do for God. So he's going to bring to God his very best fruit. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. Cain performed, and God didn't say, "Very nice, thank you." God didn't do that. So look what happens to Cain. With a basic instinct. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. He's going to go into total turmoil here. And what's it based on? Performance. I performed. I offered you my best, and you didn't want it. Just see, when a lot of people experience this incompleteness and experience this whole thing in life, I can't do enough for her. I can't do enough for him. And no matter what I do is not right. They criticize this and they criticize that, and the stress and the anxiety and all of the depression starts mounting up. This is what happened to Cain. He performed, and God didn't recognize it. Now let's go back to Colossians. He performed, and God didn't recognize it. God didn't accept it. God didn't say, "Oh, that's a wonderful thing that you did." Let's go back to Colossians 2 now. So. The philosophy of the world, which you accept, is based on your own performance, basic instincts. You destroy yourself when you live by your basic instincts of performance. People, let me tell you something. Living by the basic instincts of performance will destroy you much more than living by lust. Lust is for a certain period in people's lives. But I want to tell you something about basic instinct. It happens from a little bitty baby child until we ever even ever learn about the physical lust. And then after you reach the point where that's dead, boom, the basic instinct is still there to perform and be rewarded for it or punished if you don't do it. And this is affecting all people in life. It's a basic instinct of every person, every human being. There are a lot of people who don't have lust, immoral or sexual or physical lust. A lot of people are like that, but they have the basic instinct we're talking about. But the basic instinct we're talking about, performance and recognition for it. It's what causes a lot of people just to say, "To heck with the world," and walk off, or "Heck with this marriage, this home, this, that. I don't care. I'm not." And they give you the idea they don't care, but they care very much. They care very much. Now let's note what God has done for you. Verse 10, and in Him. You have been made complete. Those of you that everything's fine in your life, you won't see, you won't sense the relief of this phrase. It won't mean that much to you. But those of you that are hurting and those of you that sense this incoherence in your life, it's just going to start making sense. You are complete. Now, you can believe it or not. If you do believe it, you'll start experiencing it. What we have here in the Greek is a perfect passive participle of the verb plero. The verb plero means to fill or complete. Now, before we go further, this is not easy to see as simple as these words are. You have been made complete. They are not easy to grasp and to understand. As easy as those words sound, they're not easy to grasp and to understand and then believe and live by. Look back at verse 2 for me. This chapter is a great chapter. Look back at verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged. Hearts may be encouraged. That's what I want this whole study to be. Encourage you to be who you are in Christ. That their hearts may be encouraged. And people will tell you something in the Christian journey. You're going to need this. You're going to need this encouragement. Having been knit together in love. That's the fundamental. We've seen it. Now stand on that. And attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance. Wealth, not from the world. Look, the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. And for us, understanding that you're complete in Christ, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. And you see that? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Many false preachers, false teachers, think they understand it. But they fall short. Because they teach you the basic instincts. They teach you performance. You've got to perform. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to perform for God. They fall short. Now, what is the mystery? The mystery, that is Christ Himself. Now, do you believe that about Christ? Be careful! Be careful before you say yes. Be careful before you say yes. Because if you believe that about Christ, you're going to have to believe that about yourself because you are in Christ. You are in Christ. And Christ is in you. Now look at verse 3. That is Christ Himself, in whom, Jesus Christ, are hidden. Now, look here. You think this is easy to see? Most preachers think they see it. Most people think they see it. First of all, it says mystery. God's mystery. Then in verse 3, are hidden. People, this is not obvious. This is why. Multitude of preachers preach performance. You've got to do and do for God. You've got to do the law. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to be good. You've got to learn doctrine. You've got to have experiences. You've got to serve. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do our list of our assembly. What is ours? Ours is moral righteousness. Ours is learning Bible doctrine. Ours is charismatic experiences. Ours is serving God. You've got to perform. And yet they'll stand up and tell you they have the mystery. Understood. No, they don't. It's a mystery. It's hidden. You know what the word hidden means? Not easily seen. People, I'm going to tell you something. It's not seen just because you know Greek and Hebrew. It's not easily seen just because you have the gift of pastor-teacher. It's just not. I'm sorry. There are a multitude of preachers, not many, I guess. But there are a handful of preachers across the country in all denominations who know Greek and Hebrew. Don't think the Bible Church seems to think it has a market on it. There are people in nearly every denomination. There are men, scholars, preachers, theologians who know Greek and Hebrew. They don't have it in the Bible Church or otherwise. It's not in there. It's not hidden. Oh, well, if you have the Greek and Hebrew, you'll find it. That's not true. That's not necessarily true. If you have the gift, you'll find it. Well, I have the gift. You're going to have to come to me. I control everything. That's not true. People, it's a mystery. It's hidden. And that means it has to be revealed. Now, ask yourself, who is the one who illuminates the truth of the Scriptures? Who is it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes. The Holy Spirit turns on the light. The Holy Spirit reveals the mystery. And He takes off the covering of that which is hidden. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. And the proof that multitude of preachers today do not see what is hidden is revealed in their messages of works. Listen to them on Salvation 1, how to be saved. And you got to listen carefully. You got to make Him Lord to be saved in the evangelical movement. People, I'm not even going to go outside of the evangelical movement on that. Inside of the evangelical movement, we still don't have Salvation 1 down. We got people saying you got to make Him Lord. That's an active verb. You got to do something. We have people saying you got to invite Him into your heart. That's an active verb. You got to do something. You got to join this. You've got to change your life. You got to commit. You got to do all these things. Then there's a few who say, no, you just got to believe. That's a passive. You receive it by simple faith. Salvation 2. What is salvation 2? Recovering the power of the Holy Spirit out of sin. Being restored to the light. Being restored to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's obvious that a lot of preachers, a multitude of preachers, don't have this secret, this mystery revealed and this hidden thing unveiled for them. They'll tell you all kinds of things you got to do. There are some who even say, well, there are certain things you do and you never can recover. That's their view of God. That's their view. They don't see the secret. They don't see the mystery. It's not opened up to them. In whom are hidden, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. Treasures. People, please, if you're suffering, please don't look for it in the world. Don't look for it in the physical world. The treasures are not in the world. The treasures are not in having a happy family with a little white picket fence. The treasure is not in material success. The treasure is not in physical beauty. The treasure, look at here, are hidden in treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What is the spiritual warfare of our universe centered on? It's centered on wisdom. See, in the prehistoric world, there was a great battle, and that battle was over power. Satan and God fought, and that was about power. But in our universe, the battle is a battle of wisdom. And what's wisdom built on? Wisdom is built on words. In university I took a course on logic, probably, I'm sorry to say, one of the most difficult courses I took. They made what I thought was common sense logic very, very difficult to grasp. But wisdom is built with words. Words build concepts. So preachers, people use words. This whole thing with Job and his three counselors, we're getting ready to start when we can finish this one, is you have words. The counselor says, Job says, they say, Job says, they say. Jesus Christ and Satan, right after Christ received the Holy Spirit of baptism. Satan said, Jesus Christ said, Satan said, Jesus Christ said, and they're all quoting the Bible. Wisdom. Understanding. Do you know a lot of preachers don't even understand the Bible? Don't even understand the Bible. Don't even understand what the issues of the Bible are. So who has the wisdom? Who has the knowledge? I guess we'd say almost every pastor is going to claim he does. Then when they open their mouth and start teaching on salvation 1 or 2, they reveal that they do not. Who has the wisdom? Who has this knowledge that can make you be complete in who you are in Christ? This is the great issue. People, you don't have to suffer SAD by listening to false teachers with persuasive arguments. All you have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to reveal this truth to you, that you're complete in Christ. Now, the first thing I want to do with this verb, and remember, the verb is a perfect passive participle of plero, to fill or to complete. Let me tell you about the perfect tense. Just think with me a moment. This is what we call an intensive perfect. Now, what does that mean to us? That means that this verb, that what this does is it places emphasis on the present result of a past action. Places emphasis on the present result of a past action. And this is vital to you. God did something to you in the past, at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. And what God did for you at that point has dramatic effect on your life right now. As you grasp who and what you are in Christ, this is going to be how you're going to come out of stress, anxiety, and depression. That way back, whenever it was, yesterday or 25 years ago, 50 years ago, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God did something at that has an impact and an effect in your life right now. The perfect tense says, this is your continual state of existence. You cannot improve it or lose it. You are complete. No matter what's happening or how you feel, you are complete in Christ. People, get off of the things of the world that are holding you back and be who you are in Christ. Claim who you are in Christ. How do you do that? Walk by faith in the Spirit. Don't expect miracles from people around you. Don't expect to be like Superman walking outside of the phone booth. You walk into the phone booth and you're a mortal wearing a suit. And somehow or another inside that phone booth, he changed clothes. I never could figure that one out. And you walk out of that phone booth and you're in a Superman suit and you can now fly. Don't expect that. This is all inside. You will become a Superman, if you please, inside. You'll start having peace. You start having completeness and fullness of who you are if you'll be content with who you are in Christ. Passive voice is important. In the Greek, this is a passive voice. What does that tell us? The subject receives the action of the verb. You receive this completeness by grace. You do not earn it, deserve it, perform for it, hold on to it, keep it primed and all of this kind of thing. No, it's yours by grace at the point you believed in Christ. That's it. You received it. You didn't earn, deserve, or work for it. God graciously gave it to you by your faith in Jesus Christ. How are you going to experience the reality of that? Keep doing what you did to receive it. You walk by faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit, then the reality of your completeness in Christ becomes a reality in your life. Now let's look what God did for you, or to you, really, at the point of your faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior that affects your life right now. Look at the phrase, made you complete. Okay, here is something else we have noted. Often God asks a question, and the answer is never given. Now, look what we have here. Paul does not define what we're complete in. Complete in knowledge, complete in wisdom, complete in this, complete in that. That's what some people do. Well, let's go ahead. It means you're complete in knowledge and wisdom. You're complete in this, complete in that. Get this in your notes and in your soul. The point is, in Jesus Christ, you're complete. Anything you want to talk about, you're complete. That's it. Cannot be improved. Yeah, but if I live a righteous life, aren't I improving it? No, you're just living your completeness of who you are in Christ, people. That's whenever. See, are you with me? What are we talking about? My life's incoherent. You know why your life's incoherent? Because in reality, you are who you are in Christ. But in your life, you're not living that way. So there's something wrong here. You're incomplete in your life. You're incoherent. Not incomplete. You're incoherent. There's just something incoherent about my life. Well, yeah, you're not living who you are in Christ. And you may try to find the answer that you want that sense, that little feeling. You may try to work or sex or marriage or success or friendships or traveling or fun or weightlifting or whatever it may be. I'm just telling you very simply, you're incoherent of who you are in Christ. People, you're something wonderful in Christ. Live that. Don't try to find it in the world. You live day in and day out. You get up tomorrow morning renewed in the Holy Spirit, renewed each morning, and you live who you are in Christ. Simple little just day, moment by moment walking, letting the Spirit guide you, your life's going to be coherent. Your life's going to be coherent. You try to get it by doing things, it isn't going to work. I've got to go out and drum up this, and I've got to go out and do this, and I've got to go do this. We have a small assembly. Boy, if I just had more people, everything would be really wonderful. So I've got to figure out all these ways to getting more people in here. People, the first thing we got to do is complete in Christ. There's just total coherence. I just tell you, personal experience, there's just total coherence. When I'm at my desk during the day, try to 7 days a week spend time there. Just at that desk, studying, and then when I'm teaching. I'd love to have more classes, but we get few in the unknowns I have. I have lots of things I wish we could do, like just go through the whole Bible. Start putting, the Holy Spirit has brought me after 30 years in the ministry. I've just seen so many things that now to go through the Bible, so much different when I did it when I got out of seminary. But I'd like to have somebody here to listen if I did it. We can't find it in performance, people. You find that coherence when you're living each day under the leading of the Spirit. Now I'm coherent with who I am in Christ. And you'll find that completeness experientially in your life. You already have it. You'll just sense it experientially. You'll experience it. You're born in Christ, you are complete. You cannot improve it. You cannot lose it. You are complete in Christ. Stop working for it. Stop. Let me give you this principle. Stop working for what you already have. Stop working for what you already have. It's a shame when a husband or wife have to try to work for what hopefully they already have. You already have my love. You don't have to earn it. You already have my friendship. You don't have to earn it. Stop working for what you already have. Live daily in that completeness. But wait, says a false teacher. You want rewards in heaven, so you have to work, and so on. Do our list. People, think. Don't be foolish. Think. What did you do to receive this completeness? Faith. I'm doing the same thing Paul does in Galatians chapter 3. He says, you foolish Galatians. You know what the word really means? I know preachers, you like to use that and call people fools and jackasses and jerks and stuff like that. It's not the Greek. The Greek means non-thinking. It means non-thinking. And that's what Paul is saying. You're not thinking. I want you to think. What did you do to receive the completeness? Did you do it by performance or by faith? The answer, faith. Then, what makes you think, if you want to live in that completeness, day in and day out, it's going to be by performance? If you received it by faith, how then are you going to experience it every day? By faith. Every day. Think. There are preachers who come along and say, well, now that you have it, now you've got to perform. Think. Wait a minute. That isn't how I receive the completeness. Why do you think that's going to make me experience it experientially in my life by performing? In fact, what's going to happen is that's contrary to it. So you're going to be incomplete. Oh, P, I hope I'm communicating this. In some ways, it's a simple statement. In some ways, it's difficult. And my prayer was that the Spirit would just give me the words to relay this to you. Don't try to work for what is already yours. Think. Don't be foolish. Think. Foolish in the sense of non-thinking. What did you do to receive it, this completeness? Faith. How are you going to live experientially this completeness? Faith in the Spirit. You just live by faith in the Spirit, and God will take care of all of these things. He'll take care of your rewards in eternity. Don't walk around thinking, boy, I want rewards, I want this and that. People, that's what you do in performance realm, in the performance realm. I work hard, I want a paycheck. I work hard, I want results in the gym. Boy, I work and I work and I just can't get biceps like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I got news for you, friend. You never will. You're genetically not made that way. You could live in the gym, you could get his book and do everything he did, and you're not going to make it. But we want those rewards. We want it so bad, and Christians live their whole life for people. Let me just tell you something. If you take care of your business of living each day by faith in the Spirit, you don't have to be worried about anything in eternity. He'll take care of that. You just live today in the power of the Spirit. Yeah, but it doesn't look like I'm making big grounds. I haven't led my 10 people to Christ today. I hope you do witness to people. But and it's easy today. People think it's difficult because we live in such a secular world. I want to tell you something I've discovered in the gym. The secular world knows there's something missing. The secular world knows there's a God, and they're not being inundated with Him. They're not even being given information about Him. And they like talking. So, I hope you are witnessing. But getting back, I haven't witnessed to my 10 people. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. You just rest. Walk in the Spirit each day. Just walk in the Spirit each day. And it'll take care of itself. Used to be a coach, great coach, the Dallas Cowboys, Tom Landry. And I remember the years when they'd go to the Super Bowl. You just do your business each week, week by week, day by day. Don't get involved in a game two weeks ahead. Just live today. Just get ready. It'll take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. You perform today. Now, if you go out there and slack off today, you go out there and just kind of bloop today, you go out there and choke today, then when the real pressure's on, that's what you're going to do. But you go out there and you just do this. Now, what I'm saying, that's in the sports world, in the spiritual realm, you just walk by faith today. You just trust Him. He'll take care of what needs to be done. Now, there are many different dimensions of this word. And I don't want to go through all of them, but I don't want you to miss it. And I don't want to rush because we've got several we want to go through. So we'll stop here and begin at this point next Wednesday evening and continue through at this point. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's my prayer that you will get these lessons into the hands, the ears, of a few believers who will listen, who will grab hold, hear, listen, and then believe and then live who they are in Christ. Give them this information, Father, that you have given us. Use this assembly, Father. Use the message that you've given to us to reach out to others. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.